102.3.
Is it true?
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. You are tuned into 91.5 FM WMIE right here in Cocoa, Florida. And we are glad that you have chosen to invest in your spiritual development and would love to have you come and visit us at Merritt Assembly of God. If you do not have a church home, maybe Merritt Assembly of God is too far away for you to attend. This radio station has signals that goes all the way from North Brevard to South Brevard. South Brevard is a bit of a jaunt. Find a Bible preaching church near you. Plug in, get connected, find out what God wants you to do and allow him to develop you into the person he knows that he can make you to be. And so in this day and time, when there is so much that is going on a global scale and a local scale, you do not want to be trying to go through life alone. You need to be connected with other believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need one another. And so thank you for investing in your spiritual well-being. I want to take you today to the book of Ezekiel. Okay, you got Jeremiah, then you got Lamentations, and then you got Ezekiel. If you come to Daniel, you've gone too far. Turn back to the left. Okay, Ezekiel, we're going to be in chapter 13 today, and I'm going to read the entire chapter. It's not a long chapter. It's about 23 verses long. And so we're going to read this so that you can get a little bit of context here. Verse number 1 says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy out of their own heart, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing." Oh, that's bad when you're following yourself and you got nothing to follow. I'm just saying. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the deserts. You have not gone up into the gaps to build a wall for the house of Israel to stand in battle on the day of the Lord. They have envisioned futility and false divination, saying, thus says the Lord. But the Lord has not sent them. Yet they hope that the word would be confirmed, or may be confirmed. Have you not seen a futile vision, and have you not spoken false divination? You say, the Lord says, but I have not spoken. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who envision futility, who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people, nor be written in the record of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Let me just pause for just a moment and just tell you how important that sentence is. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. Everything that God does is done with the motivation of people knowing that he is the Lord. He doesn't start off with the most extreme tactics first. He always starts off with an invitation. And as if that invitation is ignored, he steps up his tactics, his strategy, because he desperately wants you and I to have eternal life. Jesus was highly motivated that you and I know that he is the Lord God. And so every time when you begin to wonder, what is God doing? He is bringing us to the place of knowing that he is the Lord God. And so my advice, my wisdom that I want to offer you is this. Say yes to knowing the Lord is God very early in the process. It will save you a world of heartache. Verse number 10, because they have seduced my people, saying peace when there is no peace, and one builds a wall and they plaster it with untempered mortar, say to those who plaster it with untempered mortar that it will fall. There will be flooding rain, and you, O great hailstone, shall fall. A stormy wind shall tear it down. Surely when the wall has fallen, will it not be said to you, where is the mortar with which you plastered it? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I will cause a stormy wind to break forth in my fury, and there shall be a flooding rain in my anger and great hailstones in fury to consume it. So I will break down the wall you have plastered with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that its foundation will be uncovered. It will fall and you shall be consumed in the midst of it. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. There it is the second time. Thus will I accomplish my wrath on the wall and on those who have plastered it with untempered mortar. And I will say to you, the wall is no more, nor those who plastered it. That is the prophets of Israel who prophesy concerning Jerusalem and who see visions of peace for her when there is no peace, says the Lord God. Likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die and keeping people alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds. I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. There's the third time. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hand of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Therefore you shall no longer envision futility nor practice divination, for I will deliver my people out of your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So one of the things that I was taught when I was in Bible college was whenever God repeats something a number of times, it's a good idea to pay attention really well to what he is trying to say. Four times in this passage, we are told, then you shall know that I am the Lord. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. And you shall know that I am the Lord. God really wants us to know that he is God. The problem is that there were people who were going through the motions that people of God, servants of God, would go through, but God was not their source. Instead of prophesying from a thus saith the Lord mindset, they were prophesying out of their own hearts. They were prophesying foolishness instead of wisdom. They were prophesying visions of nothing instead of visions from the Most High God. They were prophesying in a deceitful manner. When God was dealing, what was going on was God was dealing in a convicting manner, and there were messengers that were quote-unquote from God, but not really from God, and they were undermining the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to get people to turn from their sins. So in verse number 8, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, because you have spoken nonsense and envisioned lies, therefore I am indeed against you, says the Lord God. We have to be leading people in a thus saith the Lord mindset. We need to make sure that the people who are leading are not leading astray. Okay. There are way too many people who are susceptible to being lied to because the people who are lying to them know that they are going to embrace the lies. Listen, verse number 10 says this, because they have seduced my people saying peace when there is no peace. Okay. These people who are, they are disconnected from the reality of the moment, and people were believing their lies. They envisioned these lies. Listen, when people are trying to deceive you to believe a deceptive goal that those liars have, don't have anything to do with them. Don't have anything to do with them. I know this, when the Holy Spirit tells me, reveals to me, this has not happened, you know, a whole bunch of times, but it's happened a number of times. When the Holy Spirit is dealing with me and saying, you know what, this person is not telling the truth, I don't listen to them. Okay. If they insist on talking, I can stand there, let them speak, but I do not have to embrace their deception. Okay. There are a lot of people in America right now, and they are being sold a false spiritual bill of goods. They are prophesying, oh, everything is fine between you and God, when in actuality, God may not be as supportive of the lifestyle of sin as you may think that he is. In fact, I can just flat out tell you, God does not endorse sin. He does not approve of sin. He comes to forgive sin and empower us to live differently than we did as servants of sin. So, my hand will be against the prophets who envision futility and who divine lies. They shall not be in the assembly of my people. Listen, verse number 8 says that God opposes and cuts off from God's people without remembrance those who are not messengers of the truth. Wow. They may be wildly popular among people, and yet God says, I'm going to cut you off, and it is going to be such an extreme severing that people are not even going to remember that you ever existed. That is not the purpose that God created for you and I to live for. He wants us to be eternally known by the Lord our God. He wants us to make a kingdom impact for good, not for evil. So let's not embrace that. Let's not be people who propagate deception and say peace when there is no peace. If you go on down to verse number 17, it says this, likewise, son of man, set your face against the daughters of your people who prophesy out of their own heart. Prophesy against them and say, thus says the Lord God, woe to the women who sew magic charms on their sleeves and make veils for the heads of people of every height to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people and keep yourselves alive? And that's where you really begin to see that the motive of the deceiver is not for the benefit of the hearers, it's for the destruction of the hearers of lies. The devil, when he lies to us, is not lying to make our lives better. He's lying that he might destroy us. Temptation comes wrapped in such a pretty package, but inside it's toxic. That you and I, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to participate. You know, too many people have a trivial mindset towards sin. I want you to know it's like holding the picture that comes to mind is you're sitting there, you're holding a venomous snake in your hand. And you might think that it's all well and good until all of a sudden you realize that venomous snake is going to act like a venomous snake, and it's going to lash out at you and fill you with its venom. That's what temptation is. And you and I, we can't afford to do that. The consequence is that people are hunted down because of this deception. And the liars think that they're going to be spared from the same fate as the others. You know, if you go back and look at history, whenever there was a totalitarian regime that came in, the first thing that they did was begin to separate themselves and distance themselves from many times the very people who helped to get them into power. And there is such a deception that a lot of people really are deceived into believing, oh, we're part of the in crowd, and not realizing that they're embracing the darkness of this world, and that, you know, if things do go the way that they think that they're going to go, it's going to end up leading to their own destruction. And will you profane me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread, killing people who should not die, keeping people alive who should not live, by your lying to my people who listen to lies? And so the other consequence here in verse number 19 is that God is profaned. Whenever there is this deceitful ministry that is not based upon the Word of God, not based upon relationship with God, not based upon visions that God has given, but upon empty visions, visions from a much lower foundation and with a much less noble purpose, here's what happens. The people begin to look at God as just a common entity. Have you ever stopped to ponder what a glorious privilege it is to know the Lord God? What a privilege. No greater honor than to be called a child of the living God and to know Him and to be known by Him. And yet, deceitful ministry that is not based upon truth but upon fantasy causes people to lower the mindset that they have towards God. I've been told that every cult has a lesser degree of appreciation for who God is. Either they do not appreciate the fact that He is God, or they do not appreciate His humanity. They have a faulty concept one way or the other, and do not appreciate that He's 100% God and 100% man, and that He never sinned. He is the Son of God. He deserves to be worshipped. Let's make sure to keep our Savior elevated to the proper position that He so richly deserves. Now, if you go down verse number 20 and says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm against your magic charms by which you hunt souls like birds, and I will tear them from your arms and let the souls go, the souls you hunt like birds. I will also tear off your veils and deliver my people out of your hand, and they shall no longer be as prey in your hand." I'm so thankful that God has the capability and the awareness to deliver us from the traps of the enemy. You may be listening today, and you've been caught in the lies that the devil has presented to you, that if you know you were engaged in this sinful activity, that your life would be better. If you engaged in this sinful activity, life would be better. I want to encourage you, take a look at the end result. Take a look at what the finished product of that sin, that addiction, that ungodly lifestyle. Take a look at what the end of it looks like. You know, there's many people who have a hostility towards people of faith. And so I want to ask you today, if you're one of those people, what does the end of that look like? What does it look like for you? If you are right and there is no God, there is no eternity, what does that end look like for you? It looks just like nothing. There's no one to high five on the other side of the grave if you are right. What difference does it make if, you know, you were right and you're dead? People are not going to remember you for very long. What does that look like? What does it look like if you're right and you've convinced a lot of other people? There's nothing in it for them that wouldn't have been there before. It's an exercise in futility. But what if you're wrong? There's a whole lot to be lost. There's a whole lot of misery, a whole lot of heartache, a whole lot of suffering, a whole lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's a whole lot of being used as an ungodly example. What does it look like for a Christian if he's wrong? Well, if we're wrong, the Bible describes that living as a Christian is still the highest quality of life that you can live. There is no greater source of peace, no greater source of joy, no greater sense of purpose, no greater sense of connection than there is the body of Christ. And so if there is no eternity, but there is, we haven't lost anything. We have really just gained a higher quality of life while we were here. But what if we're right? Then we have gained eternity. And nothing that we've ever set aside will be lost. Verse 22. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad, and you have strengthened the hand of the wicked, so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. That is the real consequence to people who are in positions of authority and influence using deception as the tool to continue to manipulate people to embrace their vision instead of God's vision. Okay? We have already talked about one of the consequences is that God's name would be profaned. But here's where it gets very personal. You have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. There are a lot of people right now that you are discouraged, depressed, experiencing all sorts of discomfort in your life. And I want you to know, it's not of God. That's the plan that the devil has for you. God says, righteous people are experiencing sorrow and heartache and grief. They're sad. I didn't make them that way. God wants you glad. He wants you filled with the joy of the Lord. Okay? God wants you to have abundant life. God wants you to have peace and joy. All of the things that the devil promises and can't deliver, God is able to deliver. The second thing is, he says, and you have strengthened the hands of the wicked. That's one of the things that is going on in America right now, is that people who are practicing wickedness instead of righteousness, that their grip is being strengthened. They are being emboldened and quite active, militant even, because people are feeding them a spiritual lie. You don't have to repent. Everyone has to repent. Let me say that again. Everybody has to repent. I don't care who your mama is or who your daddy is. I don't care who your husband or your wife is. I don't care if you're from America or not from America. Everybody needs a Savior, needs to repent, and needs Jesus to forgive them of the sins of their life. He said, you've strengthened the hands of the wicked, and as a result, he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. Jesus said, woe to those who cause any of these little ones to stumble. It'd be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and for him to be cast into the sea. I'm here to proclaim to you today that God, by his Holy Spirit, is wanting us to know that there is a whole God is not just the God of love, he's a God of holiness. And you may have been born a sinner just like I was, but you don't have to stay that way. I don't have to stay that way. God comes in and says, I want you to turn from your wickedness so that you are saved. You continuing on the path of destruction is not God's plan for your life and my life. If you look at your life today and say, you know what? I think that I have believed a lie. You know what breaks my heart? What breaks my heart is seeing people who have known the truth, lived the truth, preached the truth, and then they get lied to, they get discouraged, and then they set aside the truth of God and embrace a lie from the pits of hell. And I don't ever want to fall prey for that. I want to love the truth, love the people of the truth. And I'm here to tell you today that if you feel hopelessly bound in your sin, snared by your sins, I've got good news for you. Jesus has the power to break that trap, break that snare, set the captives free, and give you the hope, the future, the joy, and the peace that he wants you to have. Turn to Jesus today. You will be glad that you did. We'll see you tomorrow right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
we